the Prabhupada disappeared today. A Vaishnava contemplates what it is like to be separated from Krishna and the devotees. Ramananda Roy told Lord Chaitanya that the most painful existence is to be without association of pure devotees. You can get a sense of that transcendental feeling of separation in this song by Narottam Das Thakur, whose compositions are accepted as Vedic evidence because every line of his song emanates Vedic conclusion. For those of you who are mindful of your P's and Q's, it is often said that Heno Prabhu Kotakila Acharya Thakura refers not to Srivastacharya but to Dvaitacharya, because it is said that Srivastacharya was still extant at the time Narottam Das singing. In any case, you will do no harm glorifying either Srivastacharya or Dvaitacharya. What we are seeking is to understand how it is that Krishna comes and goes, and how it is that Krishna sends his devotees and then takes them away. This is what we are meditating on today. And of course, specifically, we are meditating on the extraordinary gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave us during his presence on this planet, and our great debt to him for those years, and of course our debt for his continued guidance in so many ways. We're going to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, the passing away of Bhishma Devi. That's the first canto, chapter 9, text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sampajamanam
Ajaya
Bhishmam Pramani Nishkale Sarve Bahuhute Tushnim Vayam Siva Dina Atyaye Sampajamanam Ajaya Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale Sarve Bhubhu Se Tushnim Vayam Siva Janatyaye Sampajamanam. Having merged into Adhyaya, after knowing this, Bhishmam,
about
Sri
Bhishma
Dev, Brahmani, into the Supreme Absolute, Nishkale, unlimited, Sarve,
all present,
Babhubhute, all of them became, Tushnim, silent. Vayam Seva, like birds. Dina Atyaye, at the end of the day. Translation. Knowing that Bhishma Deva had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent, like birds. To enter into or become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of the living being. The living beings are all competent parts and parcels of the Absolute Personality Godhead, and therefore they are eternally related with him as the servitor and the served. The Lord is served by all his parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important. Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole, and they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. There are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels, and thus they undergo a continued life under the laws of material nature. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, he tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and thus the spiritual urge of living beings begins. This spiritual urge is called Brahmajigyasa, or inquiry about Brahman. Principally, this Brahmajigyasa is successful by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service to the Lord. Jnana, or knowledge, means knowledge of everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection, and devotional service is the revival by practice of the original position of living beings. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Master. The Jnanis and Yogis enter into the impersonal rays of the Supreme, but the Bhaktas enter into the spiritual planets known as the Vaikunthas. In these spiritual planets, the Supreme Lord is Narayana predominant, and the healthy, unconditioned living beings live there by rendering loving service to the Lord in a capacity of servant, friend, parents, and fiancé. There, the unconditioned living beings enjoy life in full freedom with the Lord, whereas the impersonalist Jnanis and Yogis enter into the impersonal glowing effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. The Vaikuntha planets are all self-illuminating like the sun, and the rays of the Vaikuntha planets are called the Brahmajyoti. The Brahmajyoti is spread unlimitedly, and the material world is but a covered portion of an insignificant part of the same Brahmajyoti. This covering is temporary, and therefore it is a sort of illusion. Bhishma Dev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord, in his eternal form of Partha Sarathi, predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Partha Sarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishma Dev while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Jnana Srimanandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshun Militangena Tadamaya Shri Guru Namaha. To our material consciousness, the disappearance of anything and anyone practically in this world is always a source of trouble, because in conditioned life, we measure our so-called happiness in terms of temporary things, whether they be bodies or material objects. We stake our attempts for pleasure upon these transitory things. Therefore, we don't like when these things inevitably disappear. An intelligent person becomes frustrated by the comings and goings of things in this world. The material world is called Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming. Having experienced this transitory nature of the world in birth after birth, we begin to become exhausted of it and seek a solution to this problem of things appearing and then disappearing. Then we begin Brahmajigyasa, to inquire into spiritual life, because we're starting to understand that as long as our hopes for pleasure are bound up in things that have a beginning and an end, we'll never get real pleasure. An intelligent person begins to inquire about the Absolute Truth upon reaching that stage of understanding. Now, upon contemplating the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, we find out once again there are comings and goings. Now, what is this? Sometimes even crass materialists criticize. They say, you're always telling us, you devotees are always telling us that it's a world of birth and death, but we see that the devotees also die. What are you going to do about that? So even if you want to take it in an ordinary sense, that devotee dies. The fact is, the devotee dies to not die again. You can look at it from that angle. And looked at from another angle, the passing of a devotee is no material thing. It's a change of service. There's no death for the devotee. Yet and still, comings and goings disturb us, even in spiritual life, because we would like it that Krishna remains. We would like it that Krishna's pure devotees remain, but they're coming and going. Krishna doesn't hide from this fact in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna was puzzled how Krishna could have explained the message of the Gita to the sun god Vibhishan millions upon millions of years ago, Krishna replied, Bhumi me Vibhishan, Janmani Avatarjuna. Many appearances both you and I have had. In other words, both you and I have come and gone so many times, I can remember them all. You cannot. So Krishna is plainly saying, I come again and again. Yada yada hidharma shadvanya bhavati bharata. Whenever and wherever there are certain conditions, I come. And Krishna also disappears. The Vaishnavas do not like to talk about the specifics of the Mahushala Leela, Krishna's disappearance. Yet it is there. These sages at Naimisaranya, the whole purpose of their holy convocation, their gathering at Naimisaranya, was to discuss what to do now that Krishna has disappeared. How is Dharma going to be protected in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So in their discussion, what to do, they recognize, Sukta Goswami, you were there when Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Prithviraj. So you, please, answer our questions. We're approaching you. You kindly tell us how Dharma will be guarded, how the people will be benefited, because Kali Yuga is fast upon us and Krishna is no longer here. So this is the launching of the Srimad Bhagavatam as handed from Shukadeva Goswami to Sukta Goswami. You may wonder, well, is it the Bhagavatam in its finished version when Shukadeva Goswami speaks it? Or is it the Bhagavatam in its finished version when Sukta Goswami speaks it? Or was it the Bhagavatam in its finished version when Vyasadeva wrote it down? What is the actual finished product called the Bhagavatam? Jiva Goswami explains the point that the Bhagavatam is an eternal body of knowledge that appears and disappears. And it's expanded upon at various times and various places. So therefore, indeed, Bhagavatam was spoken by Krishna to Brahma in the Chaturshloki, the four original seed verses of the Bhagavatam. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then others take those four basic verses and expand upon them. Just like you have an accordion. When the accordion is pressed all the way in, it's still an accordion. And when it's expanded, it's still an accordion. So whether the Bhagavatam is being elaborated upon by Sukta Goswami or Shukadeva Goswami, or spoken in four verses by Krishna to Lord Brahma, still it is Srimad Bhagavatam, which, like an accordion, is expanded or compressed according to the situation. So these sages of Naimisaranya, they're having a sacrifice for 1,000 years to discuss. Krishna has disappeared. Kali Yuga is upon us, what to do? And of course you know the answer that they got. The Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen, as brilliant as the sun. It will give protection to everyone's spiritual urges. So you see, throughout the Gita, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, appearances and disappearances of transcendental personality are dealt with. Even the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't hide from those things. We don't hide from the fact that when a great personality, even the Lord himself, disappears, there are disturbances. That is to be expected, and Krishna doesn't cover up in Bhagavad Gita. What does Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita? He reveals it as it is, he says. Sometimes the message of the Gita becomes obscured. He doesn't say everything is always rosy. No, sometimes my Gita, my words, my instructions, my direct purport, they become obscured, and that way you can say they're lost, and therefore I have to come again and reinvigorate things. So we have to understand the way things work in this world. It's clearly revealed in the Gita and the Bhagavatam what goes on and why. The sages in Amishranya, they knew Krishna disappeared. What's going to happen? What shall we do? Also in Srimad Bhagavatam, you have, of course, the disappearance of Krishna. That was the occasion of Sukadeva Goswami speaking. Actually, Jiva Goswami explained that after Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Krishna Maharaj, and after Sukadeva Goswami, who was in that audience, then spoke to the sages of Namasranya, after all that, then Vyasadeva wrote it down. We've explained before the great problem that Western so-called culture had, and why, one of the many reasons why they bang their heads against the wall when trying to understand the Vedic perspective. To the Western man and woman, writing is a sign of civilization, great intellectual achievement. And to the Vedic person, writing everything down means human beings have diminished. So we have a completely opposite point of view. Things have to be written down in entirety when people's memories are short, when their intellectual capacity has become reduced. But scholars and specialists of today are quite assured that it is a great leap forward in civilization when people begin to write things down. Actually, because of the onset of Kali Yuga, memories become shortened, and therefore the Vedic literature is recorded. This is just one of many reasons why it is difficult for people today to understand Vedic knowledge. Another reason is, as Prabhupada explains, they have this addiction to want to constantly verify things with their own sense perception. Oh, you told me such and such? Oh, well, what do my senses tell me? That's a completely bona fide response. And anything else is considered deviancy. And the Vedic system is just the opposite. Avaroha Panta. Just like the avatar comes to this world, comes down, like elevator goes down. Similarly, knowledge comes down to us also. It's not that we use our imperfect senses to rise up and try to understand what is what. That is not possible. To make spiritual advancement, the first thing that is required is humility in approaching descending knowledge. That doesn't mean you don't use your senses. No. But you understand your senses in their current state of contamination cannot be the ultimate judge, the ultimate arbiter. You must become purified. But Krishna in the Gita, he clearly says that there is a place for senses in bhakti. This king of all knowledge, secret of all secrets, perfection of religion, it allows the direct perception of the self. But your senses have to be guided in such a way that your original spiritual senses become active again. We are taking prasad, we're seeing the deity, we're hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. These are all sensory activities, but these senses are being engaged according to a process that is given to us for our purification and our active participation in the glories of the Lord. We're not trying to speculate, well, how can I capture Krishna? And when we come in contact with things in the Shastra that are beyond our sense perception, we don't reject. Who can believe that? I don't see anything like that. And none of the cats and dogs in the barnyard see like that. So why should I accept? No, we don't feel like that. We understand that even to understand so many material things, only and rely upon authority. And to give us that authoritative chance to understand, therefore Krishna and his representatives come into this world to shed their light, and then so that we become attached to their instructions, they disappear. The message of Krishna, this is the extraordinary importance. And because the message is conveyed by persons, the persons become important too in relation to the message. Simple example Prabhupada always gave, the postie. The postie, his or her credit is that the post is delivered. For that, the postie is glorified or appreciated. It's all in relation to the post delivering the mail. Similarly, Krishna's message, even when Krishna himself disappears, that message is still there, and we are meant to take shelter of that. And in that way, factually speaking, you appreciate the person, the personality. In that way, there's actually no separation. This is the great mystery of bhakti yoga, which a materialist can never understand. Yes, on the one hand, Krishna has gone. Yes, on the one hand, Krishna's great devotees have gone. Yes, on the one hand, Srila Prabhupada has departed. Yet, on the other hand, the mystery of bhakti is that by attachment to the message, you still retain association with the person. And that is a lesson that Krishna wants us to learn. So, that is one reason why Krishna and his great devotees come and then go. We have to learn all aspects of spiritual science. We have to learn how to associate physically and also to associate through the mission or the message. Both things have to be there. One Srila Prabhupada said that physical association with the spiritual master is for fools. Of course, you have to understand it in context. You know, all of you say, yes, we are fools, so we need that. The first principle for making advancement is to understand. I am faulty, and I must have guidance. So Lord Chaitanya himself demonstrated that. Guru More Murkha Devi Karivoshasar. My spiritual master chastised me and said, I'm a fool. Just chant Hare Krishna, he told me. Since I've heard those words, Lord Chaitanya said, I've taken that instruction to heart, and now, sometimes I become uncontrollable when chanting Hare Krishna. It is impossible to understand through logic and reason how the association with the Lord and his devotees is still there through sound. That is the wonder of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Sutta Goswami constantly told the sages of Naimisaranya, you have the Bhagavatam. It will give you all the blessings of the Lord, just as when the Lord was physically present. These are great mysteries which we should never forget. Familiarity brings about forgetfulness and casualness. How it is that by associating with the Bhagavatam, we have all the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes you might think, if only I was like Arjuna, he had Krishna right on his chariot, if only I could have that kind of guidance in every situation. But the message of Krishna's pure devotees is that you can have the same advantage that Arjuna had with Krishna on his chariot just by reading Krishna's word. So that is a lesson that an aspiring transcendentalist has to learn. Also, being separated from Krishna and his dear devotees, it motivates us. You see, bhakti is emotional, but the emotions are not cheap. They're perfected emotions. If you read these songs by Narottam Das Thakur, just like the song we sang this morning, they stir the perfect spiritual emotions. We can get glimpses, at least, of how there is another reality where emotions, they come into play without a touch of the material energy. So, separation from Krishna and his devotees, that is a spiritual emotion. And on days like this, especially this appearance of Srila Prabhupada, we feel this tugging at our hearts. And even in our lonely condition, we can understand there is something deep in the heart that is being, that has been touched. And you begin to have further hope that yes, one day my heart will be pure. one day, by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees, my heart will be pure. And then I'll really appreciate what it means to be connected to the Lord and his devotees. One day, you'll get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of what Narottam Das Thakur is singing about in separation from his beloved devotees of the Lord. Bhishma Day's passing is a cosmic event. You all know how people from all over the universe came, great sages, great yogis, they came to watch the departure of Bhishma Day. And Krishna himself came there, along with the Pandavas. There is Bhishma Day laying on the ground. It's described that he lay on a bed of arrows because his body was so shot through with arrows that he was like laying on a bed of arrows. Physically incapacitated, yet his mind was in perfect condition. And he sweetly greeted the Pandavas. You should greet someone with body, mind, and words, but Bhishma's body was not in appropriate condition, but his mind was sharp and his words were sweet, and he welcomed Krishna and the Pandavas. Why did the Lord come before him at that time? Because the Lord wanted Bhishma to instruct Yudhisthira. So much so that the Lord presented himself as incapable of solving Yudhisthira's lamentation at the devastation caused by the battle of Kurukshetra. Also, the Lord wanted that Bhishma Day, in his final moments, see the Pandavas rightly situated in charge of the world. Krishna knew that would give Bhishma Day great joy. And also, the Lord came before Bhishma Day to give of himself so that Bhishma Day could fix his mind upon him and in that way leave this world. It's a very emotional scene. Bhishma Day, lifelong brahmachari, is even moved to tears when he thought about all the miseries the Pandavas went through. And his conclusion was, this is the workings of the Lord. We cannot understand it all the time, how such great devotees had to go through such tribulations. But it all turned out for the best. And Bhishma Day explained to the Pandavas, you think this Krishna is your friend, your cousin, so on and so forth. Let me tell you, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhishma Day began to explain to Yudhisthira how to rule, how to govern. His instructions take up a huge section of the Mahabharata, of the Santi Parva. You'll get a capsule of that in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically designed to provoke love of Krishna. So you'll get the essence of what Bhishma Day told you is here in a way that provokes your eventual arousing of love of Gaia. And then Bhishma Day began to remember the Lord on the battlefield. He was particularly attached to the four-handed form of the Lord. He knew Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, but still he had a particular attachment to the form of Narayan as part of the garden. So he asked the Lord, let me see that form, please. And Krishna revealed it to him. And then Bhishma Day, who had the ability to quit his body at will, decided to give up his body, fixing his eyes on the Supreme Lord. And then we get to today's verse where Bhishma Day has departed. All present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Prajit Maharaj, his departure is talked about in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Everyone knows he was cursed to die in 7 days by the bite of snake bird. So Shukadeva Goswami had explained the whole Bhagavatam to Prajit Maharaj, and then he asked him, is there anything more you'd like to hear? Now you know that throughout the whole 12 cantos, Shukadeva Goswami has been stimulated by the questions of Prajna Maharaj, and often he would congratulate Prajna Maharaj. Your questions are glorious. You've inspired me to remember Krishna. You've benefited all people by your questions. Sometimes Shukadeva Goswami would even become overwhelmed, visibly overwhelmed by transcendental ecstasy just by hearing the questions of Sri Maharaj. This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. The questions as well as the answers are of the highest benefit. So, Shukadeva Goswami reached a point where he said to Sri Maharaj, I've explained so many things about the glory of Lord Hari. Is there anything else you want to hear? At that point, Sri Maharaj said, no, you have explained everything. Now I ask your permission. Please allow me to fix my mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and in that way, leave this world. So Shukadeva Goswami granted his permission. Just see, this is a guru-disciple relationship. It's not that Shukadeva Goswami, it's not that Prince Maharaj said, okay, you finished talking, now I've got some affairs to tend to. No, he's asking permission. You've explained everything. Now, I don't need to hear anything more at this point, so I'm asking your permission. May I fix my mind upon Krishna? And Shukadeva Goswami gave his permission, and then the Goswami left. Because destiny was about to be unfolded. After Shukadeva Goswami departed, then what is the name of the Sanskrit
company? Akshaka.
Akshaka. He's coming to do his job. This is all the arrangement of Krishna, to bring Maharaj Krishna back home. So Akshaka, he runs into
Akshaka.
And in order to divert Akshaka, he gives him valuable presentations, because he knows Kashyapa has the ability to neutralize his poison. He's done it before. When Kashyapa sunk his fangs into a palm tree, and Kashyapa's poison is so ferocious it turns anything, incinerates anything. But Kashyapa had the ability to counteract the poison. So Kashyapa knew that. So he had to divert Kashyapa in some way. It's all part of Krishna's plan. So then, being a mystical entity, the snake bird could transform himself into whatever form he likes. So he changed himself into a Brahmana and walked into that assembly. Prithvi Maharaj had already withdrawn his senses from the external world and was fixed in samadhi upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His light ray of air became still, and he's perfectly absorbed in the Supreme Lord. And then Kapshapa came and cleared him. And immediately, Prithvi Maharaj's body becomes consumed with fire. And he's gone. So there was this great lamentation. Because naturally, the departure of Krishna's great devotees, it was a lamentation. It's not a shame to lament. But then there was rejoicing, because everyone knew he's gone back to Godhead. So just like at the departure of Bhishma Dev, upon the departure of Prithvi Maharaj, the demigods would shower flowers, instruments, musical instruments would be played in the heavenly planet. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we become trained into what is actually significant in this world. How both the coming and going of the Lord and his devotees are important. Not just the appearance, but also the disappearance. That's what it means when we say Krishna is absolute. It's not that one side is attractive and the other side isn't. No. Everything about the Lord, and by virtue of their connection with the Lord, everything about the Lord's pure devotees is all attractive, is absolute. Therefore, both the coming and going of Krishna and his devotees are celebrated. Therefore, in Vaishnavism, we celebrate the appearance day of Krishna's devotees as well as the disappearance day. Disappearances are good because they cause us to think soberly about the material world. Well, if such an exalted soul as Srila Prabhupada went through his disappearance, why should I be attached to this world? You see, we may realize it or not, but we can be contaminated by material religiosity, thinking that because I'm performing religion, my life should be always comfortable and opulent. And as we know, such a conception is swept out of the Bhagavatam right from the very beginning. Karma approached the Kaitavanga, Paramona Matsalara, Amsatam. From the very beginning, all traces of religion performed for material gain are kept out of the Bhagavatam. That is Krishna's mercy. Of course, in our material consciousness, we think, oh, that's very cruel. There's no room for, you know, perpetual materialistic enjoyment in Krishna consciousness. Why doesn't the Lord properly take care of his devotees so that they're always happy in the material world? What kind of father would that be who allows his parts and parcels to linger in the material world instead of being installed in their original constitutional position in the Lord's pastime? Of course, it is true that in the highest stages of bhakti, you do not care whether you're going back to Godhead or not. You just want service to Krishna. That is not just something that's said. That is actually a concrete experience that what does it matter where I am? I have service to Krishna. This is the standard set by Lord Chaitanya. Mama janmani janmani sade bhavatatmukhtir hoitikindraya. Heaven, hell, here, there, birth after birth, doesn't matter as long as I have service. This is not just some kind of catechism that the great devotees of the Lord recite. Birth after birth, as long as I have service, I don't mind. It's not like that at all. It is an actual experience of the glories of devotional service. Or when Chitraketu Maharaj told Parvati, let your curse upon me to be a demon in the next life, let it happen. So let it be. And Lord Shiva told his wife, your beauty has been surpassed by this attitude of the devotee, who doesn't mind whether he's in heaven or hell, has no fear because of his connection to Lord Narayan and his service. Generally, departures are a source of lamentation. We feel bad for the person. Oh, his life has ended. And we don't think too deeply, maybe, but unconsciously, we're fearing for ourselves. My life will also end. Then we take to religion and think, if we just follow God's orders, then maybe we'll be left to live in this world peacefully. There'll be prosperity, there'll be lasting health, because we surrender to God. Now, Krishna wants to demonstrate that for his devotees, this world is not their place. He doesn't want them to use religion as an excuse to loiter in the material world, Prabhupada would say. You think about it, loitering in the material world. That a merciful father will not allow that to happen. So therefore, the disappearance of the Lord and his devotees causes a decrease in the so-called prestige of the material world. You think, well, if Prabhupada left and you saw from the material point of view the condition in which Prabhupada was in before his departure, and he himself said, don't think this won't happen to you. As we now know, that is the final lesson he taught us, that even the greatest devotees have to leave this world. What to speak of us? So why should we think, well, maybe I'll become so Krishna conscious that I'll be able to linger in this world, it'll all work out nicely, and because I surrendered to Krishna, therefore I'll be left alone. No, it's totally different from that. Your surrender to Krishna means that your experience is something else. Even though the body is going through its changes, your consciousness is elsewhere situated. Therefore, indeed, devotees like Vishvade, Krishna Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they can say, doesn't matter where I go, as long as I have service to Krishna, because covering and throwing potencies of Maya, that you actually feel natural within a material body, and you feel natural within the material realm. It's not meant to be like that. So Krishna teaches us a lesson. For example, in the departure of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna teaches a huge lesson that even for his associates, they cannot stay in this world, and therefore you should not want to stay in this world. you should want to go back home, back to Godhead. This is a message we forget. We'd like to make a truce with Krishna. Well, let me perform a little bhakti and let me stay the material attachment. All right, that may go on for some time, but sooner or later, the conclusion always raises its head. This body is temporary, this world is temporary, I can't stay here. If Srila Prabhupada did not stay here, Krishna himself, in a sense, does not stay here. Lord Caitanya's associates, they don't stay here, they move on, in the physical sense. So, who am I to want to cling to this world? Krishna knows you'll think like that. Therefore, he arranges for the disappearances of his greatest devotee. Indeed, Krishna arranges for the disappearance of everyone. He says in the Mrityu Sagara Shalom, I make everybody disappear. So, how to die as a devotee? The Acharya also teaches that. In this way, we can see how the founder Acharya has given us everything. How to die as a devotee. How to die in perfection. For that lesson, we are so indebted to Srila Prabhupada. And by his assistance, by his insistence that he's given us everything, how can that be? Why was he so confident that he's given us everything? We don't feel like we have everything sometimes. But Prabhupada was confident, I've given you everything you need. So therefore, the disappearance of Krishna and his devotees provokes us to examine what we have. What are we going to do with it? Will we shortchange the material tendencies and things like that? Oh, why didn't Prabhupada stay longer? Things have been fine if that happened. No, we haven't been shortchanged. Prabhupada said that, his leaving this world now, between him and Krishna. How the devotee can make the most spiritual advancement, that is the concern of the Lord and his spirit devotee. So we have to learn how to see them now. How things are happening to cause us to make spiritual advancement, so what's the use of anything? To the Prabhupada's departure. He so wonderfully did in such a way as to constantly increase the love of his devotees. His touch and go situation. Devotees praying, my dear Lord Krishna, if you desire, please hear Srila Prabhupada. The emotions that from the heart that Srila Prabhupada whipped up, so to speak. These are all meant for our spiritual advancement. He was binding us to him. And then he always said, I've given you everything. Upon the departure of the Lord and his devotees, naturally there is disturbance. Krishna himself doesn't cover that point up. He says it clearly in one way. There'll be disturbances. I have to come. I have to do something. Now you might say, but these disturbances are so problematic. How can Krishna do this to us? Why did Prabhupada do like that? No, instead we should be thinking, we were given everything, let us look and see what's there. The disappearance causes us to become more serious about the instruction. You literally have to rack your whole life trying to cope. And in that way you make spiritual advancement. And then, gradually begins to dawn the secrets of bhakti, that there's actually no separation. It's not just something that we kind of mutter. There's no separation. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you're chanting Hare Krishna, we're all together. That actually is a scientific fact that we are meant to make progress toward. This is what Srila Prabhupada is holding before us. He always said, in terms of his own Guru Maharaj, he said, it would have been a wonderful thing if he was present now, the Prabhupada was speaking on his disappearance. It would have been so wonderful if he was present. But he's not. But the fact is, there's never any separation. So there is a physical reality. That is wonderful. Certainly to see the activities of Krishna's devotees in this physical world, that is a great wonder. But they also want to teach us something more. that through the instructions we'll also get association. If we miss that point, then we'll not be complete in our spiritual development. Our spiritual development will simply be bound by material conceptions of the body. But we're meant to go beyond that. We have an incalculable debt to pay to Yeshua Father just for his departure. Such a memory he's left. A legacy of love and a confidence I've given you everything. Love and confidence. This is what Yeshua Father's departure aroused. He gave that love and confidence. Of course, the devotees there maybe not feeling completely confident that is humility, and sometimes we become inattentive. But we are forced once again to reevaluate what did Srila Prabhupada give us. And in that reevaluation, that is bhakti. Let's go over it again. Let's go over the love and confidence that he was emanating. Let's see what we have. Let's see what we should do next based on what we were given. And then each time you do that, lo and behold, you find Prabhupada's association in a way that becomes more mature, more developed. And then you begin to realize, amazing, it is not just a religious statement that there's no separation. Indeed, you begin to taste, and it is plain as day. It is a fact. And then you know that Srila Prabhupada has done his job. So we should not measure things in terms of the inevitable problems that the departure of the Lord and his devotees will have. We should look and see how things are still going on. How Krishna's work is never lost. When seeing Srila Prabhupada through transcendental eyes, although his departure is sad for us in some ways, in another way, it is victory. Victory in that the message and mission of the Lord goes on. And those who dedicate themselves to that message and mission may hopefully understand that they were never separated from the person. You see, both things are there. In fact, both things are personal. It's not that there's the message, that's kind of dry, abstract knowledge, and then the person. No. In Krishna consciousness, everything is personal. The message is born by persons. The mission is born by persons. It is all together there. But for purposes of analysis, we say, the message and the person. But it is not like the message was ever separate from person. Therefore, we are attached to the person. And therefore, we hanker to have those persons' association again, just like Narottam Das lamenting and hankering in his song, a pure meditation. On this day, we should try to understand the love and confidence that Srila Prabhupada He's done his job. He left satisfied he has done his job. Now we have to look and see what Prabhupada gave us and feel motivated by his satisfaction that he did his job. Now we have to do ours. So this is a sober day for realizing that. It is simultaneously a sad and joyful day. Sad because we miss the physical association, but joyful in that we know Srila Prabhupada is always serving Krishna. And that if we follow the instructions he's giving us through the civil succession, that we can also go back to Godhead.
So that the appearance and disappearance of the devotee are equally auspicious, but we celebrate the appearance of Lord Krishna, but even as you mentioned at the beginning, we don't even talk about his disappearance. But why is Krishna, why is this a special aspect of Krishna's disappearance that we don't talk about, we don't celebrate?
I also wondered about that myself. Vaishnavism is artistry, and it's full of all sorts of personal considerations and special considerations. The Acharyas, they said that Vaishnavas don't like to talk about emotional lila. On the other hand, as Maharaj is pointing out, the Vaishnavas celebrate a disappearance. So, basically, at least I can say that we take the art of Krishna consciousness as passed down by Krishna's dear devotees. They teach us how to express the art, science, and culture of bhakti. And so they have said like that. That emotionally, Krishna's own departure is not very relishable to discuss. It doesn't mean it's not absolute. It just means devotees don't like to talk about it. It doesn't mean it's an inferior thing or it's on the material platform. Absolutely not. When you read Nectar Devotion, you'll see so many things like that. And you begin to realize, is this just some kind of arbitrariness? Where you can focus on this, you can't focus on that. Or are we dealing with personalism in its highest purest expression? Now, ultimately, Krishna likes certain things, and he doesn't like certain things. I remember once a devotee asked Prabhupada, well, why is it that in the Nectar Devotion it says you shouldn't wear red and blue garments in the temple? And Prabhupada answered that. What is there in Bhakti Prasadra is simply the problem.
Well, I have some idea. One says when the devotee disappears, then he's going to Krishna. But when Krishna disappears, he's going away from the devotee. So the devotee's like to hear about Krishna. When the devotee disappears, then he's going to Krishna. But for us, when Krishna disappears, it actually produces great separation from Krishna rather than our God. Rather than someone going to Krishna, Krishna's going away from us.
They have learned an answer stirring the pot of bhakti. Yes.
Mani, I don't know if they explain the difference between when the Lord appears, he fully manifests all of his transcendental glories. All life is full of transcendental glories. Usually, when the devotee appears, he doesn't necessarily manifest those in the very beginning, but his full glorious manifestation is when he leaves. Departure is the full block of his glory. Departure is usually recognized more than the appearance of the devotee. Krishna is not definitely the sorrowful thing that is departing. The departure is more glorious than fully awakened to the body.
Any insights to your karma?
Well, I just reflect on more and understand everything to expect when the failure is going to be problems and take that as an opportunity to be serious about the condition of the teaching to not be bewildered by.
My own realization. I realize that the Bhagavad Gita Krishna doesn't cover up. He says. Sometimes what I say becomes obscure. He admits that there can be problems in the relative sense, but then Krishna says, I handle the situation. You don't see any lack of confidence displayed by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes there are problems and that's it. No, he says, there are problems, I handle it. Complete confidence. So we have to learn to see how it is that the problems are handled. Because Krishna has confidence. Prabhupada's departure, upon his departure, he had confidence that he gave us everything. So we have to take shelter of that confidence and see why it's there. And then we'll become a bit more confident. We have to reassess our roots, reassess our foundations, and that is bhakti, that is an offering. Constantly reassessing. And this way we become stronger and stronger. And that way the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada provides great impetus for us. Any other devotees? He said, if you want to know, you can read my books. Read his books and you try to carry out his instructions. Don't think that, you know, when Prabhupada was present, everybody had heaps of physical associations. Nothing like that. But by his presence, even those who were not with him all the time, they became inspired to take his instructions seriously. So it's not so much like you're at a complete disadvantage. Everybody else had all the nectar. No. Yes, it is a special thing to be present when Krishna's devotees, great devotees are present. At the same time, you shouldn't, while humbly acknowledging that, you shouldn't kind of first speak yourself that, I never had that chance. What will become of me now? Prabhupada never said anything that should give you that kind of paranoia or hang-up. On the contrary, he said otherwise. And we're seeing that. There are devotees who never had Prabhupada's physical association, both Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples, and they are blossoming quite nicely. So you also have that opportunity. We're confident, not in ourselves. Take that off of that. But we are confident that Prabhupada had every right to be confident, so we just have to look at what we've been given and apply it to the course. Ladies?
Take a look at the Prabhupada's relationship with the spiritual master. He sort of emphasized what his actions he was going to focus on certain things that his spiritual master said were, I guess, problems, critical instructions. And he would often use those to make judgments about who was following, who was not. So in terms, and then also, if we're getting older, you know, our disciplines are getting up. So, what would be the essential instructions of Srila Prabhupada that we would most want to pass on to coming generations of devotees? Just like if you would with Prabhupada away from this beautiful master. Yes, spread Krishna consciousness around the world, but we're trying to, you know, distribute books. What would be the, out of all the instructions, what do you think the most critical ones?
One thing I've been meditating on, this is asking me personally, I've been meditating on, in light of various current events and rulings and things like that, Prabhupada's model example of presenting himself as simply the humble servant of his spiritual master, and how that's the only reason for his success, whereas others did not seem to be so successful. I simply tried to carry out his instructions. I don't have any mystic power. I simply tried to satisfy my spiritual master. I was thinking about that through the summer years for most of them. Because someone sent me a letter telling me how, well, you know, Dittan is fundamentalism. And I began to think, is that necessarily a bad thing if it's true? And it forced me to think of Prabhupada's attitude towards his spiritual ends, because no one, you know, wants to be, you know, thought of as being part of a fundamentalist, you know, organization associated with fundamentalists. From the, in terms of worldly opinion, you know, it's not that popular in most countries, especially in New Zealand. America, there are a lot of people who love to be called fundamentalists. And say New Zealand, that's considered a lot. So, I began to think, how should I respond to that? Your immediate gut reaction is, fundamentalist, you mean? No, we're thinking devotees. And I thought, well, what do we know about what to do and how to strive, except for the example that Prabhupada gave, how he cast himself in relation to a spiritual master? We just don't know anything else. We're stuck. And it's good. We are stuck. At that point, everything, all the buck stops at that point. And that's what Srila Prabhupada constantly held up to us. Just like he said, distributing books. I'm just following the order of my spiritual master blindly. I cannot say what the result will be. Of course, then again, he would say, one day they'll appreciate it. I remember Patrick Martin asked Prabhupada to tell him the question. All, you know, you've always talked about how Krishna consciousness will become dominant in the world, and, you know, in other words, we have these glowing presentations, but will it happen immediately or gradually? And Prabhupada replied, I've given you the seed, the root. Now you have to water the seed. Giving the seed. The root is in place, but you have to water it. How do you water it, he said? By distributing the books and talking about the books, the seed will grow gradually. If you ever make a study of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura's mission, you'll find an extraordinary thing. That, other than details, you'll find the same thing going on as the Prabhupada set up. The same thing. The same vitality, organized preaching, the same full-on missionary efforts. Same thing. In core, you'll find the same thing. So when we see that, and when we hear Prabhupada cast himself in relation to his spiritual master, that this is my only reason for success, this is why some have made it, some haven't, this is what keeps me going on, this is my focus. Now you can't jump around that and say, oh, he's just saying like that, he's a Mahabhagavat. He's explaining in a way that we take that into heart and cast ourselves in the same way. So, I was thinking about that. Currently, that is my meditation. That's the ultimate clarifying point. That is our fundament. Any reason I have for success is simply I try to carry out the order of my spiritual master. I simply took it as my life and soul. I'm an old man. I'm doing a little something in my old age. You are younger. You can do so much. All right. So obviously, not that Prabhupada is enabling or so competent. But the point was, he saw himself, he cast himself simply as taking the order of his guru on his head and trying to do it. And he gave us that opportunity to assist him.
As far as my vision being a little specific on that point, as Prabhupada said, that if you love for me, you will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this moving together after my disappearance. So, as I'm involved with some of the whirlwinds that are in this time, global stuff. One thing I can, when I reflect on some of the things that Prabhupada did, is that he wasn't fixed on one particular way of doing things. He specifically tried a variety of different ways of managing the movement to invoke the maximum amount of cooperation amongst the devotees. and then that comes down to Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another, we sometimes get fixed in different identities of being guru, or being BBC, or being temple president, or being ordinary devotee, or so many different conceptions of who we think we are. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the real conception is I'm simply Krishna's servant. And therefore, the leaders of the society should try to utilize their intelligence to see how all different devotees, whatever their position, that everyone is taken or given authority, how much they can actually help the devotees cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness together. That no one, we should avoid becoming attached to some particular designation, some particular position of authority, or we could become attached to, is utilizing whatever position, whatever authority we have to maximize the cooperation amongst the devotees so that we can become Krishna conscious and distribute it to others.
Dananda, have you done some weeks?
There's so many wonderful answers.
This is a Prabhupada Lila Mita. Middle of the night, Prabhupada called to Giriraj in Bombay, also in Vrindavan. He just come back to Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, do you think this movement will go on without me? He asked Giriraj. Giriraj was astounded that Prabhupada had called him in the middle of the night to ask him this. I think, said Giriraj, that as long as we are sincere and go on chanting Hare Krishna and follow the principles, the movement will be successful. Srila Prabhupada was silent. When he spoke, each word seemed to come with great effort. He uttered the word organization. Then he said, organization and intelligence. Is there anything else? Giriraj felt within his heart that he wanted to cry out, Srila Prabhupada, stay with us. Then said, Prabhupada said, no.
So that, no, you're not going to say no, there's nothing more than organization.
All right, Prabhupada said.
Giriraj offered obeisance to him that.
Organization and health.
Lokanath had called Srila Prabhupada
how in the course of their travels they had recently visited Tirthas, which is Bhagavad Krishna, and Deemkapur. Srila Prabhupada was enlightened to hear this, and he then evolved the transcendental desire to go himself on a cart pulled by bullocks to circumambulate the area of Vrindavan. Kamal Krishna and Bhavananda, who were serving Prabhupada with increased intimacy, felt themselves unable to support Srila Prabhupada in his desire, since they thought his fragile body could not survive such rough treatment on the road. But Srila Prabhupada reached that, dying on Prikrama's glory, and he asked them to take him. A controversy developed among the devotees, for some said Prabhupada's will to go on Prikrama should be immediately honored as an order from the spiritual master. He wanted it, and he should not be denied it. The doctor, however, assured them that Srila Prabhupada's body would not survive the jostling of the cart. The many devotees who crowded around Srila Prabhupada's bed held different opinions, and Prabhupada could see this. Following his request, however, Lokanath went out and hired a cart with bullocks and prepared it for the ride. Lokanath and Hamsadutta suggested that the Parikrama could go to the city of Vrindavan or visit the seven main temples of the Goswamis. But then they said that since the next day was Govardhan Puja, Prabhupada could go to Govardhan Hill. Kamal Krishna, Bhavananda, and Bhakti Shuru, however, protested adamantly against the Parikrama. One day experiment, Prabhupada said. It is for one day. Rest assured, I will not die in one day. We like the idea of going to Govardhan. And we shall make our cooking there, he said. Lokanath Swami, he assured them with experience, make very good picnics, he said. After discussing back and forth, the devotees finally decided that early the next morning they would take Srila Prabhupada in a bullock cart to Govardhan. The majority of the devotees then left Srila Prabhupada alone for the night. Later that night, Srila Prabhupada received a visit from his Kinchana Krishnadas Bhakti, who sat with Prabhupada, chanting and sometimes speaking in Bengali. Suddenly, Kamal Krishna and Bhavananda came to Prabhupada's bedside. They were in tears and beside themselves with anxiety. Prabhupada understood. You request me not to go, he asked. Well, Srila Prabhupada said to Kamal Krishna, I'll tell you, I'm getting so upset sitting in the room upstairs as I was walking around. Two of the devotees told me that this road is so bad that if you go on this road, you're going to be jolted back and forth. The road is terrible. I just cannot understand, Srila Prabhupada, why it has to be tomorrow that we have to go. If anybody that wants you to travel, I do. But why do we have to go when you're in this condition? I can't understand it. Why are we throwing everything out of the window that we must go tomorrow? I cannot understand. All right, said Srila Prabhupada softly, immediately agreeing to their proposal that he not go. Jai, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhakti Shuru, who was also present. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda with great pleasure. All right, you're satisfied? Now I am, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda. Yes, I was in too much anxiety. Never mind, I shall not put you in anxiety. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said to Mahakrishna, we're so much attached to you that you practically drive us to madness sometimes. Tonight we will be coming mad. No, no, I shall not do that, said Prabhupada. Babaji Maharaj, Prabhupada turned to the attention of Krishna, Babaji said, just see how much affection they have for me. Srila Prabhupada said to Mahakrishna, the way you deal with us simply deepens our attachment every moment. It is my duty, said Prabhupada, and a devotee's last warmth, understanding, yes. They could understand that what they do. By all his actions and dealings, Prabhupada's intention was to capture spirit souls and deliver them free. His method was loving service, but he did not do it for himself. He was delivering them to Krishna. Now,
Good Prabhupada.
Good.